So we really see when we think about death that what's very, very important for us is to have a balanced mind and a happy mind and a kind mind. Because when we have that kind of mental state, then dying becomes something very easy. Dying's not fearful at all. Okay. In fact, when we have a kind and balanced and compassionate mental state, living it becomes much less of a problem. Why? Because our heart is different. When we're reborn in the next life, if we have this habit of being kind, if we have a habit of being generous and friendly, that habit comes with us into the next life. If we have that kind of personality habit from the beginning when we're kids in next life, that life is going to be a lot nicer, isn't it? Yeah? Whereas this lifetime, if we create a lot of habit of getting angry, if we create a lot of habit of being selfish or saying nasty things and hurting people's feelings, that habit comes with us to the next life. And if we have that kind of personality habit in the next life is going to be more difficult, isn't it? Just like this life is more difficult. When we're angry, life is more difficult. Let's face it, isn't it? You know, when we're angry, we're going to find somebody to be mad at. Doesn't matter what other people do from their side, we're going to get mad because it's our habit. So, you know, from a Buddhist perspective, real happiness comes from transforming what's going on in here. Yeah? Real happiness comes from letting go of our selfishness, letting go of our greedy mind, letting go of our anger, letting go of our hurt feelings. Yeah? Letting go of our grudges and developing a mind that is kind towards ourselves and towards others, a mind that is ethical, a mind that's generous, a mind that's compassionate, a mind that's wise and patient. You know, though the development of those internal qualities are very important for this life to go well, for us to be able to die well, for future lives to be able to go well. And these qualities are also very essential for world peace and happiness within a society, aren't they? Don't you think? I mean, when you look at the world situation now, what mental attitude do you think is most prominent that causes suffering?
Attachment.
What? Attachment. That's pretty prominent. What else is causing suffering?
Hatred.
Huh?
Hatred.
Yeah, hatred, ego. You look, this whole thing, that what the terrorists are doing, what is motivating it? Hatred. Look, a few people having hatred, and look how it's affected our entire planet. Yeah? I mean, when I was in America, I thought it was mostly my country that was affected. But when I came to Changi Airport and I saw two soldiers with guns there, in all the times I've landed in Singapore, I've never seen that. And at that point, I went, wow, what the terrorists did in New York is affecting Singapore too. You know? And I began to see, you know, the hatred in the minds of a few people makes everybody's life very, very miserable, doesn't it? Yeah? Now, we shouldn't just be pointing the finger at the terrorists, because the terrorists were once little children in families too, weren't they? And they weren't always born terrorists. They were just kind of average people for a while. Yeah, but because they didn't control their anger and they didn't control their hatred and they didn't develop an attitude of loving kindness, as they grew older, you know, the hatred kind of took over. Yeah? which is really a pity for them and for everybody else, because they're creating incredible negative karma that, you know, they may think they're going to heaven, but from a Buddhist viewpoint, that's not they're going to be their next rebirth. You know, I don't want to even think about what their next rebirth is going to be because it's so awful. Okay? But we can really see, you know, so we can't just say other people's hatred is the problem, because it's also my hatred. And if I don't work with my hatred, I might become like them. Hmm? And if I don't teach children how to work with their unhappiness and their anger, those children could grow up to be terrorists, which of course nobody wants. I mean, Osama bin Laden's mother must be miserable now. Can you imagine thinking that your child grew up to do that? I think it must be horrible for her. Yeah? So, you know, we really need to work on ourselves. This meditation on loving kindness is the medicine that opposes our own unkind, angry mind. So it's extremely important, you know. And like I said, not just important for our own personal happiness or our family happiness, but for the happiness of the country and for the happiness of the planet. Yeah. I mean, this is major important. Yeah. So in this meditation, yeah, we remember that happiness doesn't just mean the happiness of this life. It means the happiness of having a peaceful, calm, generous, kind mind. So when we're wishing ourselves and others to have happiness, we're not just wishing that everybody be rich and famous, because we see that, you know, at the end that doesn't really bring a lot of lasting happiness. We wish that. We want everybody to have enough to eat and to be comfortable and so on. But we really are wishing that everybody have a happy mind, a generous, open heart. Yeah, that everybody be free from feeling hurt, from feeling afraid, from, you know, the fire of anger within. You know, we're really praying and wishing for that for everybody. So when we start the meditation, we first think about ourselves and wish that for ourselves and really imagine ourselves being happy in that way. Which is very nice, you know. I mean, because we're very familiar with our own internal problems and unhappiness, aren't we? They're very evident to us. So it's nice just for a while to imagine ourselves being happy. Not just because other people love us, but to imagine ourselves being free of fear. Or imagine ourselves having space in our heart for everybody. Yeah. Or imagining ourselves being able to be patient and not offended when people criticize us. Or imagining ourselves being able to be really generous and kind. So we spend some time in the meditation imagining and wishing this for ourselves. Yeah. Then we, on the basis of that, it becomes much easier when we think of our friends and family to wish them to have that kind of happiness. And we can go from one person to the next person, really wishing that for them, thinking of specific people. Okay? And then we go on to strangers, people who do all the jobs in society, you know, or even people in this room who we don't know, and wanting them to be well and happy and free of suffering. All these different kinds of levels, and imagining them being like that. And then we go to our enemies, the people we don't like, the people we feel threatened by, and we wish them to have happiness. Now you might say, how in the world can I wish my enemies to have happiness? I don't want Osama bin Laden to be happy. I want him dead and rotting in hell. You know, a lot of people think that, and they'll even say it publicly, and other people applaud them. Okay? But, you know, having that kind of thought, what does that do to us? You know, it just closes our own heart. You know, and if we wish, you know, the terrorists to be unhappy, when they're unhappy, are they going to be nicer? No, they're going to be nastier, aren't they? So wishing them to be unhappy is actually wishing ourselves to be more unhappy, because they're going to do more things that make us unhappy. Okay. If they were free of hatred, yeah, if they had countries that were governed properly, if they had enough food, yeah, if they had healthy social structures, yeah, then they would be happy, and a lot of what's going on now wouldn't be happening. If they were free of hatred, if they were free of attachment and greed, yeah? So we have to wish even the people who harm us happiness. It's very interesting, because wishing the people who harm us happiness is in our own self-interest. Yeah, His Holiness the Dalai Lama always says, if you're going to be selfish, at least be wisely selfish and cherish others. And this is exactly what he's talking about. Okay? Because we can see so clearly now how interrelated we are. Can't we? I mean, just how small our planet is, how what happens in one place affects, you know, our own life. And, you know, given all this interrelationship, you know, we have to wish everybody on the planet to be happy. Mm-hmm. Which means that they're also free of, you know, selfishness and hatred and all this stuff. Okay?